made traditions. Book bags full of paintings or plates designed at elementary schools to take to a Mother's Day brunch, graduation ceremonies on college campuses, Memorial Day parades, and maybe the first trip of the season to the beach. There's May sweeps, cliffhangers, and character deaths, all to just get a bump in Nielsen ratings. And guys, please, no spoilers here. I'm not all the way caught up this season on The Real Housewives of New York yet. Back in the 1930s, NC State had an unusual campus tradition. It was basically freshmen versus sophomores. It began kind of as a capture the flag game, but it turned into a contest not unlike a soccer match. Only in this one, you could and were encouraged to use your hands. I'm Chris Saunders, Associate Editor of NC State Magazine, and today on Hear the How, we revisit a time on NC State's campus when push literally came to shove. There was aggression. There were winners and losers. There was glory, fame, prestige. Oh yeah, and there was an inflated ball that reached 6 feet in height and weighed 150 pounds. Episode 4, Pushing Past. Freshmen and sophomores to stage a fight tomorrow. That was the headline on the front page of the May 4th, 1934 Technician describing the Frosh Soph Rush. And this was basically a contest that was to take place the next day at 2:30 p.m. on the hill in front of the 1911 building. So the sophomores were given a hill and a flag that they had to protect. The freshmen then were to charge that hill past the sophomores and place their flag on the hill. A few rules to emphasize about that contest. There was absolutely no slugging allowed, and there was even a warning issued that if it got too rough and too out of hand and too many fights broke out, all future contests would be banned. But in an effort not to kill all the fun, here's what they did allow. Rotten tomatoes, cabbages, grapefruits, eggs, flour, and any other, and I'm quoting the technician here, soft missiles. So that Saturday, May 5th, the freshmen won. They captured the hill, and they subsequently carried a celebration over to Hillsborough Street. But a year later, by the time that 1935 rolled around, the sophomores and the freshmen wanted something different. So they found an answer in push ball. And this was a sport that had been around since around the early 1900s. At the heart of this game was a large canvas ball, and it measured 6 feet in diameter. And at least in that first year at NC State, it weighed 150 pounds. The field on which they played was 150 yards by 60 yards. The ball was positioned in the middle of that field, and then on a signal, members from both sides ran as fast as they could from about 30 yards out, and they started shoving. The object? Get that sizable sphere across your opponent's goal line, and that stretched 25 yards across. If you did that, you got a point. And whoever had the most points at the end of the 60-minute regulation, they were the winner. If there was a tie, they already had in place in the rule books in the 1930s a 15-minute overtime. Sophomores wore jerseys, freshmen did not, and that second year, administrators pink-slipped the produce. Special notice should be taken of the ruling that no rotten eggs, fruits, vegetables, or anything of that nature will be allowed this year, reported the May 3, 1935 technician. This ruling has been made as a result of the large casualty list of last year's battle, which was caused by the use of rotten tomatoes. Now, I must issue a disclaimer here. We do not think here at the Alumni Association that casualty meant death in that report. No matter, though, as far as not having the produce, the freshmen won again, 1-0. In 1936, same game, different ball. Organizations from around campus actually purchased NC State's very own rubber ball. They had it customized, in fact, and it was made by Firestone Rubber Company. When inflated, it was still 6 feet in diameter, but this one now weighed 75 pounds, which was half the weight of the first ball they had played with. They were so proud of their efforts, in fact, they put the ball on display at the student supply store until May 23rd, which was the day of the contest. The day before the match, the technician published the complete rules of push ball on its front page, and I won't go too far into the weeds of push ball here. But needless to say, the student body knew what to do if the ball went out of bounds. They knew what to do as far as the positioning of each team, where they needed to be to start the match, and they even knew how to substitute for each 100-man team. The freshmen got their third straight win. It was the location that changed in 1937, as the contest moved to Riddick Field and now featured a total of 100 participants, 50 on each team. And that was seemingly the case for push ball for the next several years. I couldn't find much on when the tradition actually ended at NC State. There are write-ups in the Technician about the contest through the late 1940s. But clearly, for about a decade and a half, the main activity on campus each spring revolved around push ball. We thank you for listening to this episode of Hear the Howl today. I'm Chris Saunders, Associate Editor of NC State Magazine. Morgan Holcomb produced today's episode. Say hi, Morgan.
Hi.
Issue of NC State Magazine is out, and our upcoming podcast will dig a little deeper into some of those stories. So make sure you join the NC State Alumni Association if you're not a member and not receiving the magazine. Morgan and I will be spending our time between now and when you hear us again researching future stories for the podcast and curbing our habits of throwing rotten tomatoes, cabbages, grapefruits, eggs, flour, and any other soft missiles. Listen out for us next time on Hear the Howl.